Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Volunteer Country on SI Podcast for the second time this week. Today, I got Matthew Ray here with me talking recruiting. Matt, let's talk about Junior Day. You know, we had a lot of stuff going on here on campus, but which guys were most important to get to town, and how did Tennessee do with these guys?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a little bit of a recruiting lull, I guess you can say. I mean, for the Vols, they finish out December 15th with most of their top targets in the boat or, you know, committed elsewhere. I mean, that's how signing day works, obviously. So they kind of reset the board, identify some new guys and start, you know, making pushes there. And then they turn some attention to the 2023 class, right? So that's the one of the luxuries that they had, and, you know, did a really good job of getting some guys to town this past weekend for Junior Day. So, I mean, I think it starts with Dick Burley, the coveted defensive lineman out of Warner Robins, Georgia, just a guy that Tennessee's had on campus multiple times in the past, you know, year since Rodney Gardner's been there. A guy that it appears Rodney Gardner really likes. His staff is very high on. Heavyweight battle. When you look at the guys that they had in, there may not be a more heavyweight battle right now than Vic Burley's, in my opinion. And that's not a slight to Carnell Tate because he has plenty of suitors as well. But Burley has been actively engaged with Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Tennessee, you know, the gamut of SEC schools. So he's had all these schools in his ear for a while. So for Tennessee to be the second team as the recruiting period opens up to get him back on campus was big. He'll trip to Clemson this week. The Tigers have been a factor there for a long time. They've been really good at pulling defensive linemen out of the state of Georgia. Burley's an athletic guy that matches what they like to do with that four-man front. So there's, you know, obviously mutual interest there between them and Dabo Swinney's program. But Rodney Garner has done an excellent job here. It was big to get Vic Burley back on campus for Tennessee this weekend, and they're going to recruit him until the very end. That's, you know, that's not going to change regardless. I don't think Vic has a timeline. You know, he seems to be enjoying the process, not really rushing anything. But for me, I think it starts there because you have to rebuild the trenches if you're Tennessee. You start pulling some guys in like a Tyree West. If you can go get a Vic Burley, Josh Josephs and James Pierce coming in on the edge, guys that can both rush the passer, put their hand in the dirt and play the run, you can start to flip the script in the SEC. Glenn Ellerbe had a really good 2022 offensive line recruiting class. So Vic Burley, very important. Carnell Tate made the trip up from IMG, had a lot of travel issues to get there, spent a night in the airport in Charlotte. Had all kinds of issues. Yeah, his parents had to come out, had to come down and get him over to the visit. But mom and dad both end up on the visit, and it went very well for Tennessee, you know. So in the end, it worked out. He brought from IMG his close friend, Devin Hite, with him. Hite really feeling the Vols a little bit more right now. Wasn't as much traction there early on, but, you know, those two guys are close. Those two guys have several opportunities to go play at the next level together. They enjoy playing together at IMG. Obviously, Hite is the,
right, you know, yeah, brother of Jalen, right?
Yeah, you know, younger brother of Jalen. So, you know, a lot of connections there for Tennessee. But Tennessee had good, you know, visits with both of those guys. Hite was caught on the flight with Carnell and got trapped in Charlotte. But all that worked out. And then he got trapped on the way home. He got delayed again and a little bit and had to spend a little bit more time at the airport where Carnell didn't have to. But good visits with both of those guys. Don't usually like to look too far ahead, but Tennessee had two guys in town this weekend, again in the trenches in 2024, that I think are both very important. They're going to be top 50 recruits all the way through, most likely when all the rankings are complete, and that is T.A. Cunningham and Kamarion Franklin. Cunningham out of Georgia, Franklin out of Mississippi, guys that Rodney Garner's identified early and continued to make a big impact on. We did catch up with Cunningham, and he had glowing reviews about Garner. And he is, you know, obviously when you see a top prospect come out of Georgia, it immediately comes to your mind that they're going to Georgia. And that's one, because Georgia's recruiting at a high clip. Two, they're coming off a national championship. But Cunningham is very open to everything right now. He's got a very strategic plan in place to navigate the process, move through with his dad. They're looking at, you know, just numerous things that, you know, most kids his age aren't going to be looking at in the process. They're not worried about the flash, the photo shoots, that type of thing. So they're really meticulous in the process right now. In Tennessee feels like they're going to be in that one for the long haul as well. And then the offensive line targets that the Vols got to town, right? So a duo of in-state guys in Aiden Bustle and Bryson Sanders. Vols get both those guys to town, and just really important in-state pieces. A lot of good offensive linemen in the state of Tennessee this year: Luke Brown, Joe Crocker, Aiden Bustle, Bryson Sanders, Lance Williams, and the list, you know, somewhat goes on. But those two guys are the guys that Tennessee have evaluated out and are going to push for, from what it seems. Bustle, Sanders, both really quality offensive line that Tennessee sees fitting in on the interior of the offensive line. So big to get those guys up there together this weekend. And then another guy that, you know, it feels like Tennessee really likes and really wants in the class, if he wants to be here, is Sam Pendleton, the offensive lineman from North Carolina. We had an update on him, and he's actually going to move very fast. He's pretty well in tune with the process, even though it really hasn't been going for him that long. He knows what he's looking for. You know, he has a lot of, you know, understanding of how the process works and whatnot. He's got Michigan involved. He's got North Carolina State, Virginia Tech, now Tennessee, who offered over the weekend, and, you know, trying to make a case for him. He has some ties to East Tennessee through family friends, through some friends of his mom. He likes have been around to the Lady Vols and things like that. And then Clemson. So he'll trip to Clemson, North Carolina State, and Virginia Tech this weekend before the dead period, then go home, take a couple of weeks, reflect with his family, and sometime between probably the 15th and the end of the month, you would ideally like to get it done 15 to 20, make a decision. But, you know, another guy that, you know, they had a really good visit with over the weekend. And then you can't leave without talking about the quarterback. And there's a couple of guys that I didn't talk about that were valuable, you know, to get up here. And one of those guys, Ethan Nation, the 2023 quarterback from Roswell. But it just seems like he's early in his process. He's got 45 offers. He really likes Willie Martinez, but he's going to see a lot more places, it feels like. So, but you can't get out of here without talking about the quarterbacks. And, you know, Christopher Fazina is a guy that it was important for Tennessee to get back on campus this weekend, as he's heading to Clint this past weekend. He's heading to Clemson this weekend. So a guy that's continuing to ascend quarterback boards across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, let's talk about this Vols quarterback recruiting situation as a whole for 2023. Who is the top target? You got Nico Iamaliva, you know, Christopher Fazina, and Dante Moore. Who's the top guy here?
Well, it's a pretty interesting situation, and credit Joey Halsley here, right? Because he has, you know, Tennessee locked Taven Jackson down in a good time last year, and Halsley identified some really elite recruits early on, and I'm a Aliva.
Okay, so yeah, I'm a Aliva.
It's I'm a Aliva. Okay. And Moore, and, you know, got those guys to campus in 2021, and got Vazina to campus in 2021. Even though Tennessee identified him a little later in the process, they had, you know, built a relationship there and whatnot. But it's very interesting, because, you know, I think, from asking around, talking to different people, Nico is the top target. And Tennessee is in as good of a spot as they could be for Nico right now, based on conversations that I've had, even outside of Knoxville. So there's, you know, he's the guy that can change a program. But all of a sudden, you know, it was Nico and Dante Moore for the longest time, and you feel pretty good about both these guys, right? Moore obviously is very well polished. He needs to clean some things up, probably in the weight room. You know, a good, you know, January to to March session in the weight room and help him get stronger and things like that. I add a little bit more zip to the ball, but really polished mechanically, good crisp footwork. And he likes the Vols, right? So it's been those two, and Tennessee's identified those guys and prioritized them. And then all of a sudden, the kid from Birmingham, Christopher Vezina, gets an offer after Tennessee's been talking to him for a month or so, and he's a dude as well, you know, so he can spin it. And, you know, he's picking up traction with Clemson and Ole Miss and LSU and all these other schools coming in for him. So the quarterback dominoes are weird in the way they work, right? So, you know, it's not a knock on any of these guys. It's just how it works every year. So right now, Nico is focused on, you know, he would like to play in the SEC, but he's also evaluating Miami, who he saw a couple of times this past weekend. He's at Oregon currently, landed a couple of hours ago as we're recording this at 5:53 on Friday evening. Landed at Oregon a couple of hours ago. And, you know, he has a desire to play in the SEC, and that includes potentially Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Georgia. So you start looking at LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Alabama, right? So there's a common denominator there for Nico, and it's Arch Manning.
Yeah, so right.
He's number one on all of those boards, right? So until Arch decides to do something, right now those staffs, you know, may not have a spot for Nico. They may not be ready if he was ready to pull the trigger, which he's not right now. But Nico is not the true top guy there, whereas at Tennessee, he is the top guy in our opinion. And
okay,
you've got Vezina, who may have to wait on Nico to make a decision at Tennessee. Okay, so let's look at Vezina's recruitment. So Vezina's impacted with his Ole Miss offer and his LSU offer by Arch, possibly by Nico. We don't know how he falls on those two boards. And then at Clemson, where Vezina also likes and is highly, you know, recruited, he's impacted by Arch. So you've got Nico being held off by Arch in certain places, possibly. You've got Nico possibly holding off Vezina here, and right, so on and so forth. And that's how those dominoes go. And that's not to suggest that if Nico called any of those – Nico is an elite talent. And if he called any of those coaching staffs right now and said, hey, I would like a spot, it's not to say that they would turn him away, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely not to say that they would turn him away. But as the dominoes go, right now, Arch is the top guy on those boards.
And Nico knows that.
And Nico knows that. So his timeline, as you look at it, and he's starting to evaluate Oregon and Miami a little bit more, maybe he's saying, you know what? I'm not the top here. I may be better than Arch. I may be just as good as Arch, whatever it may be in Nico's mind. Maybe his timeline starts to shift. It's not to suggest that it is, but maybe he's starting to realize I should go somewhere that I'm the number one. So many of these variables, and that's what they are, they're examples, but are in play. It's going to be a fun spring in terms of quarterback dominoes, because I don't think anybody knows when Arch is going to do something, where he's going to go. You've heard Alabama buzz. I heard a lot of Georgia buzz this past week. I think that Texas honestly makes more sense than any, but then you have Quinn Ewers sitting there. So, right, you know, who knows what's going to happen? It looks like Ole Miss is going to land Jackson Dart. So if Stetson Bennett holds on to the job at Georgia, then maybe the playing time and opportunity to the field there is more likely if a guy like Brock Vandergriff says, well, I'm not going to wait another year on the bench, you know? So I don't know. There's so many variables in play in all of this, but with Tennessee's quarterback situation, it feels like 1A, 1B, 1C, right? And Tennessee really can't go wrong with any of these guys. I think if Vezina called up today and wanted a spot, I think you would absolutely have to say yes if you're Tennessee at this point, because there's so many other things going on outside. You know, as Oregon gets involved, you know, is a West Coast kid from Cali going to jump from Tennessee to, you know, from Cali to Tennessee if Oregon can lay out the same plan, everything else, and a highly energetic recruiting young head coach and Dan Lanning, an offensive coordinator, and Kenny Dillingham that Nico has a spot with. So all that's very interesting to me, but it feels absolutely. like 1A, 1B, 1C, and those dominoes will start to fall like they do every single year. It's just like last year, even though Tennessee was never truly in it for the longest time, no matter what Ty Simpson seemed to say, going into that February decision, the Vols were not a major player, right? They continued to recruit him. He continued to listen, but he had his mind set up that he was going to Alabama. And afterwards, he came out and said, you know, that he had had his mind made up for a couple of weeks. But once he committed somewhere else and Tennessee was out of that sweepstakes, they offered Drew Aller and Taven Jackson. That right. freed a green light. That freed a green light for Taven to commit a couple of months later. So, you know, all in all, it's this game is played every year. This year, there are so many good quarterbacks in this class. It is very
it's a lot
top
of fun.
Heavy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's very top heavy. It's going to be exciting to watch play out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just talking about junior day as a whole, you know, obviously we got the quarterbacks, we got everybody you've talked about so far, but did Tennessee make a move with anyone, a big time move with anybody?
I think both the linemen that I mentioned earlier are guys that, you know, Tennessee's going to continue to push for into the spring. And if those guys stick to their timeline, you know, Tennessee could be hard to beat there in the end, given the ties that they have inside the state to the coach and staff, what they've seen and the opportunity that the staff sees for them. But, you know, Aiden Bustle seemed to really enjoy his visit, but he may want to see a little bit more. He may want to see some camps. Bryson Sanders, same thing. That both of those guys have done, did an excellent job last fall of traveling around and seeing places. So, you know, for Tennessee, I think that those guys – they made another big push, another big impression. And I really think, you know, that with Devin Hunt, same thing. I think, you know, to get out and experience a visit with a friend in Carnell Tate and to be able to, you know, go through the recruiting process a little bit, as his parents didn't come, you know, they've been around Tennessee so much. And that's not the, you know, that's not a bad thing, you know, especially for the Tennessee staff. But Devin got to be Devin, you know, on this visit, and that's a big thing. So for him and Carnell to be here together, I think that was big. And, you know, I haven't had a whole lot of luck with Carnell, but, you know, have talked to some folks there, and he does enjoy Tennessee, and he sees the opportunity there. And at wide receiver, the Vols have a chance to be picky and go top heavy if they can, and they're putting all their chips into those, you know, into, you know, Carnell, into recruiting a guy like Devin, so they can have an elite receiver haul this time around. So, you know, I think Tennessee had a very good junior day overall from top to bottom with most everybody that came in.
Yeah, yeah, that's some good stuff there, Matt. And, you know, let's talk about the visits that, you know, it's moving forward with these visits. What's on the schedule this weekend before the dead period?
Okay, so Miguel Mitchell, the defensive back that committed to Florida, was originally slated to come to Tennessee this weekend, will not come to Tennessee. If you're in our Discord, our premium chat, we reported
that. It's a
steal
to get in.
Yeah, it is.
It's a steal.
We reported that last night. If you need to know how, message one of us on social media, we'll get it to you. But we reported last night that he wasn't, you know, midday yesterday, I guess, that he was not planning to come in. And, you know, Florida was able to lock that down. Tennessee tried to get him in. He's a good-looking defensive back prospect from a football standpoint. Big, rangy, nice speed, has some positional versatility. So, you know, and a high IQ kid. So, he's going to stick with Florida, will not be in. You know, just after that – one official visitor that we know of, Jason Jenkins, the lineman from up north coming down. Vols sitting in a pretty good position there. Really ultimately going to decide between West Virginia and Tennessee. Missouri's been in the mix, went to Florida last weekend. The Gators did not offer coming out of that official visit, so it doesn't seem like they're going to be a factor. But Missouri, West Virginia, he visited Boston College and Pitt earlier in the season. It doesn't seem like they're a very big factor. We'll see what happens coming out of the visit with him, but I don't think he's going to drag on too long and make a, you know, big elaborate decision on signing day, which is Wednesday. But Tennessee seems to be sitting in a good position there, you know, if they decide that they want to take Jason Jenkins in this class. Seems like that West Virginia is going to be big to overcome. And he has spent time there, and that staff has spent time on him. So that's going to be a battle. Last cycle, Tennessee had a few guys that they got in on late that, you know, you might win a battle in years past, but they, you know, were able to they weren't able to win out, and that's no discredit to them. They just identified these guys later in the cycle and tried to make a push and made it a difficult decision. I can't remember the kid from South Florida's name, but he ended up at Illinois, and he had more than just Tennessee beating his door down. There were multiple others, and Darren Aguin's up at Vanderbilt. And Tennessee had recruited him a little longer than the kid from South Florida. But, you know, though Jason Jenkins is coming in, the Vols are sitting in a good position. They're going to have to, you know, win out and beat out West Virginia this weekend, and that's going to be easier said than done, but wouldn't bet against Rodney Garner. And then, speaking of Rodney Garner, Marquise Robinson, an Auburn transfer who entered the transfer portal just within the last 48 hours, is currently at Missouri. Will wrap up a visit with the Tigers and tells us he will come to Tennessee tomorrow and part of the day Sunday. Then it goes to dead period on the 1st. So, or on the 31st, I'm sorry. So, just doesn't know if he wants to enroll this semester or see where things go going into the summer. Get the feeling that he's open to enrolling this semester, but I think it depends on these next 24, 48 hours, you know, who else makes contact, who tries to get him to wait till the summer. But, you know, the transfer portal is a weird thing. It works in mysterious ways, but Tennessee should, you know, have a leg up in the Marquise Robinson race with Rodney Garner, with the need on the defensive line, a guy that's got 4 years of eligibility, 6'3", 6'4", 310 pounds, a guy that the Auburn staff did not want to lose. I was able to confirm that. That was not a, hey, you know, we need to free up a spot. Hey, you know, we don't like this guy type thing. The whoever evaluated him last time, you know, wasn't right, whatever. He doesn't fit our thing. No, the Auburn staff wanted to keep Marquise Robinson. So, you know, this is a guy that has a quality future in the SEC, most likely. So would be a big get for Tennessee if they are able, you know, to get him in. And, you know, maybe it does wage on until the summer or whatever. But, you know, Tennessee seems to be in a good spot there. He seems to, you know, be trying to work through it fast, but doesn't want to jump the gun, I guess I should say, but we'll see what happens with him over the next, you know, 48 hours.
Well, we all know Rodney Garner is a great recruiting tool by Tennessee as of late, but so you think there's a real chance that Tennessee could land Robinson and Jenkins soon, like before the dead period?
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's rare that guys come in and commit on a visit, right? But we've seen it with Gerald Mincy. I mean, you know, he got here and he even shocked the staff, right?
So, yeah, that was a quick turnaround.
You know, I mean, some of these guys just by the end of this, especially this time of year, and a late riser like Jenkins and a transfer like Robinson, who's been through this and knows what, you know, Robinson's making a football decision. Jenkins is obviously making a football decision too, but the process is still a little bit, you know, new to him, but he's, you know, got people pulling him every which direction. So sometimes these guys are just ready to get it over with. So we'll see what happens, you know, on the visit, coming out of the visit. But, you know, Tennessee definitely in good spots for both. And, you know, it is recruiting, so anything can happen.
Right, but, absolutely.
The Vols have to like where they are going into the weekend on the defensive line recruiting front. One of the final needs that they had to address, added Tyree West and Jordan Phillips, and you know, can add a guy in Jason Jenkins who's 6'6". I've talked to some people who say he may be closer to 6'7", measuring in at 260 pounds. So he's got the ability to carry 20 pounds of easy natural weight, right? So he's not going to have to come in and play from day one. This is a guy that Rodney Garner can get right in the weight room and mold if Tennessee is able to land him, you know, in the next 5 days leading into signing day.
Well, Matt, appreciate you hopping on tonight and giving us some great recruiting insight as you always do. Sounds like Tennessee's in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, sounds good. It'll be a fun weekend and a fun lead into signing day, hopefully.
What's your picks on Sunday?
Picks on Sunday. Chiefs, Rams.
Oh, man, I'm hoping San Fran wins so bad. I want to keep it going. That's such a good postseason. And saw it coming.
No, I mean, what, Shanahan 6-0 in his last six against McVay?
Yeah, he owns right? him, man. Yeah, he owns him.
He does. And there's no doubt. And they beat him in a major game. I promise you, Los Angeles did not want San Fran to get into the postseason for this reason right here. But, I mean, it's tough to beat a really good team three times, and the Rams seem to click. But, man, they tried to give that game away. I don't know. I think in the end, San Fran coming back from a really hard-fought game in
Everybody's
Green Bay.
Injured, too. They're so banged up.
Crazy finish. They're banged up. You got George Kittle hobbling to the sideline between plays. Debo Samuel hobbling to the sideline. They're banged up. I don't know the status of Fred Warner, who's my favorite middle linebacker in the league.
I'm pretty sure everybody's going to play, but we actually
they're
going to
play.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
They're going to play, but yeah, I mean, so I'm going to roll with the Rams, even though, like you said, Shanahan owns them, and then I've had this debate with some close friends most of the week, but Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the world. I don't want to have this debate with you. I don't care if you think it's true or not.
No, he is. Allen is close, but yeah.
And that's not a slot to Josh Allen, but man, I mean, that was one of the seconds. Yeah, and Joe Burrow is probably my favorite quarterback in the league just because of how cool he is, how calm he is. But I think the Chiefs get it done on Saturday.
That would be their third straight Super Bowl appearance, and Mahomes has gone to four straight AFC titles. Insane career he has had. But Matt, appreciate you hopping on tonight, and I'll let everybody go here. Thank you all for listening to this edition of the Volunteer Country on SI Podcast. For Matt Ray, I'm Jack Foster, and we'll see you soon.